We've been reading how Jesus rose from the dead, as he said he would. And then he appeared to many after his death, or after his resurrection. He resurrected, and then after the resurrection, there were about 40 days that he appeared to people on this earth. Kind of just proof that he rose from the dead. He didn't just die, resurrect, and go to be with the Father, take his rightful place in heaven. But if we turn to Acts 1, if you'd like to turn ahead to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we read this. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Spirit, Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So for 40 days, he was talking to the disciples, to people. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. That's a pretty good amount of eyewitnesses. Don't you wonder why everyone in that first century wouldn't believe? He was seen by over 500 at one time. But after this incident we read of today, where we read today in Matthew 20:17-20 and in here, Jesus ascended after this account back into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father of the Majesty. But during that time, from where he died and he resurrected and he ascended, for those 40 days, Jesus, before he ascended, gave to his disciples what we call a commission. He gave them marching orders. Here's what I want you to do. Here's your reason for still living here. See, when we're saved, we're not taken immediately to be with the Lord in heaven. Now, some of us might say, that would be a good idea, you know, if we were saved and then we go to heaven and we'll live happily ever after, just in perfect peace. But we don't do that. We're all testimony to that. We're still here. See, so what he did during this time after the resurrection and before he ascended, he gave these disciples a great commission, these marching orders, telling them, here's why you're here. Not to build here, not to gain here, not to collect here, not to make something of your life here. Here's why you're here. Here's why you're saved. And these orders were given in order for the good news of the salvation that Jesus was sharing with the world while he was here, how to get to heaven. He was telling them how to carry on the work that he was doing now that he'd be gone. Because Jesus was localized, he could only be in one place at one time. But now we can take him everywhere. You can take him on your job tomorrow. Many more people would be able to come and become part of God's kingdom. And that's what God wants. He doesn't desire that any perish. So people need to hear about the good news. And that's what he's going to tell his disciples. The Bible tells us in Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People need to hear the word of God. Otherwise, you come up with your own theology. Well, I believe this is the way you can go to heaven or a better place. No, there's one way. You see, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And sinners are still being saved today. Isn't that wonderful? Due to the obedience of Christians who obeyed his commission. I heard it from someone, the gospel, that was saved. And they carried on the order of preaching it to others. And that's the way it works. But I don't know how much longer we have. You know, this opportunity may not continue very much longer. The signs are the end is near. Jesus is coming back for his church. It's been about 2,000 years. We very well may be in that last generation. So we need to share the gospel. Verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." A lot of important words here. Jesus said, not the pastor, not scholar, not teachers, not other Christians, but Jesus said. Jesus said, what did he say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go where? Where did Jesus say to go? Into all the world, wherever you are. Cover the world. Go into all the world. And what? Preach. The word means herald. You know how we sing, "Hark the herald angels sing"? They sang the good news. Go to all the world and proclaim, preach, herald, divine truth. Cover the earth. Preach the gospel. Let everyone know that they can go to heaven. There's no boundaries. Everyone can go to heaven that believes. The good news, preach the gospel, the good news, forgiveness of sin, new life, great inheritance, eternal life. Not only eternal life, but eternal good life. Peace with God. Adopted into the family of God. A new body eventually. Hope for here and the hereafter. That's good news. Probably you're saying, I could use all of those. That's good news. So go and preach, declare, herald the good news. To who? To every creature. That was important because he didn't say just to Israel. Because we know he came for his own, but his own did not receive him. He said to every creature, to all human beings. And today, many have obeyed that commission, and just about everywhere the gospel is preached. People are being saved. You know, in our country, we're blessed. We're truly blessed. We don't have to go to other countries. God is bringing people from all over the world to us. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's wonderful to hear the gospel. I know many that have been saved from coming from other places to hear. They live here, they hear the gospel, they're born again. What a privilege. You don't have to leave your own neighborhood, probably. God will bring them. The best news we can share with anyone is the gospel. The gospel is all good. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 16, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his own soul? Wouldn't gain you anything. The gospel is all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus appeared to many after his resurrection, confirming that there is life after death, a great life, and if one believes in him as Lord and Savior, he's saying, you can have a great life and a great future. Now, who wouldn't want to live forever? Well, anyone that would be in a bad place, or anyone that's sick, or anyone that doesn't have it good. But who wouldn't want to live forever in paradise? I don't know anyone that wouldn't. There is no need for a person to fret or fear or wonder what happens after death. They can know. Isn't that wonderful? You can go to bed every night knowing, I'll wake up here again or in heaven. That would be wonderful. Jesus shared about life and death and resurrection. He was showing that by resurrecting, life goes on after death. It's just not here. This is, I think I've shared this before. One of the very first Bibles I got, I read through it. Yeah, we went through it through Bible study. And at the end of that Bible, it says the end at the end of the book of Revelation. And I crossed it out and I put the beginning. It's really the beginning when we leave here. So he said, preach the gospel, the good news of eternal life, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of a person after they die. Because the truth is, all people will be resurrected. They don't disappear. You go on. All would be resurrected. The good news is, the gospel, that's why I said preach the gospel, one can be resurrected to eternal life in paradise, in heaven. That's a different place to spend your eternity. But a person must choose to do that. God is a gentleman. He doesn't force people to go. He says, by faith, believing in me, you can know that you will go to heaven. There is a resurrection of Jesus Christ, and one who has faith in Jesus, the only way to God, because he paid for our sin on that cross. He's the atoning sacrifice. If you believe that by faith, you can know that you are going to spend eternity in paradise. Hebrews 11:1. Let's turn there. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a pretty small definition of faith, and it's true. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the realization of, it's the evidence, the confidence of things not seen. You would go to court and the judge would say, what's your evidence? You'd say, my faith. What is that? Well, my faith, it's real. It's my evidence that these things are true. It's the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the realization of them, and the evidence of things not seen. I don't see personally heaven and what awaits me, but I know by faith it's real. It's just the realization, and the Holy Spirit testifies of that, that this is real. It will happen. A person must, by faith, know that it's real, that Jesus is the way. People say, if only I could see. Well, that's not going to do it. It's going to be faith. If one believes in Jesus and his word, and that's what we're to preach, they will go to heaven. And we know that by faith. And when you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, he confirms that in you. But all will go somewhere, whether they believe or not. So just because a person doesn't believe in that, says, I have something else I believe in, doesn't mean they're right. But they will be resurrected. All will go somewhere. But the alternative to heaven is so bad that it's called death. People should understand that. Not like, people have skulls and darkness and pentagons and all kinds of evil things that they get tattooed on, that they have in their rooms that they just think are cool. That's death. Jesus gives life. Jesus gives life. Not death. The place they go is called Gehenna, the lake of fire. Wow. No water skiing on that lake. The lake of fire. Who would want to go there? The Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Isn't it great news to know you don't have to go there? What do you have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. Just stay as you are. That's easy. Get to heaven, faith in Jesus Christ. Paradise sounds better than Gehenna to me. Just the word itself, right? Gehenna. What was that saying we heard the other day? Gehenna or the throne, better to go alone. that's about it. You go to one place or the other, to Gehenna or to the throne. But you're going to go alone. Don't follow the crowd. So go preach the good news. It focuses on death and resurrection of Jesus. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, if you'd like to turn there, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Isn't that wonderful? Paul was pretty smart. He was called a Hebrew of the Hebrew, a scholar. He was pretty smart. And what does he say now that he's a Christian? He says, I determined not to know. Hey, when I come to preach to you, I forget all this other stuff I learned. I come not with excellence of speech, showing you how smart and eloquent and charismatic I am. No, we forget that. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. All I want to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that's what I want to share with you. Maybe you're fearful of sharing. You say, I don't know what to say. Well, look what Paul did. Just shared about Jesus being crucified and resurrected. That doesn't take much to share the gospel. Romans 6, Paul said this. Turn to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together with the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Hey, we believe in him, that he died and rose, we also will rise. We believe. In John 11, verse 25, please turn there, John 11, verse 25. Jesus is speaking to Martha. Her brother Lazarus has died. She's talking with Jesus. In John 11, 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Isn't that wonderful? I am the resurrection and life, and if you believe in me, though you die and you will hear, you're still going to live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That sounds good, doesn't it? But he said, do you believe this? You have to believe it. Do you believe this? Now, I love this thought that I'm never going to die. It makes life a little easier when you think, realistically, I'm not going to miss a day or an hour of life. I'm just going to move. I'm just going to be in a different place. Doesn't that sound better than death and a funeral and all of that? I'm just going to move on. I'm never going to die. Jesus said, do you believe us? You're never going to die. In other words, I'm going to be conscious. It's like you're dreaming about a place. You wake up and you realize, oh, I wasn't really there. It was so good. What a great dream. Why did I wake up? You're just going to be here and then there. But no dream. You're going to be there. She believed the gospel. And you know what? She's with the Lord today. been there for 2,000 years. Isn't that wonderful? Believe is a powerful word. Believe. Never die. We should share the good news, but not receiving and believing in the good news is bad news. So the gospel brings good news, but bad news to people who don't receive it, because that brings condemnation. That's why people don't like you to talk about Jesus. They can talk about Buddha, yoga, meditation, Hinduism, New Age things, but talk about Jesus and, that's not cool, because it calls for believing or condemnation. Now, verse 16, back to our text. Verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's what we've been sharing. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Here's where people get into this. Some wonder if a person has to be baptized to be saved. Or does baptism save? Well, look at what he's saying. Look at the last part of verse 16. What does it say? Who will be condemned? He who does not believe. It doesn't say who does not believe and is baptized. It's very specific, very clear, different part of the verse. Who does not believe will be condemned. So baptism does not determine salvation. It's identification. That's clear. So what is being said here? Verse 16. Believe in Jesus. And remember, he's talking to the first church here. Important now, but very important then. Believe in Jesus and then be publicly baptized. And they were publicly baptized. So all will know you are now a Christian and you could have fellowship. There would be no doubt. Be baptized publicly so all know you are now identifying with Jesus. That would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? See, there weren't Christians or church before this. Oh, great, they're being baptized while they've come to the Lord. Because you see it publicly. Especially important in those days. It was making a public proclamation of their faith in Jesus. It was a witness to what they had already done. An outward expression of their faith. They believed, because he says, believe and be baptized. But if you don't believe, you won't be saved. He didn't put baptism in there. Believing identifies with the life of Jesus and baptism with the death. The death of our old man, our old nature, and now we walk in newness of life. We read that in Romans. It's showing identification. I'm sure many believers have died without having the opportunity to be baptized. As a matter of fact, they could be on the way to a baptism and get in an auto accident. They died before they could. The thief on the cross. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I'll just give you a couple of verses here. In Caesarea, Acts 10, if you read Acts 10, verse 44 to 48, Gentiles in Caesarea were believers and then baptized. Let's turn to John 4, John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, Jesus didn't even baptize. Now, if that was a condition of salvation, he wouldn't be telling people you're saved. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians verse chapter 1, verse 14. Paul writes, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I was baptized in my own name. I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Paul even himself says, well, I don't know if I baptized any other people, because he didn't call me to do that. He called me to preach. So there's a difference between believing and being baptized. Just baptism cannot save a person. Babies are baptized. I was raised in that faith. That didn't save me. How can you believe and be baptized if you're a child, a baby? You can't. You don't know enough to believe. Jesus said, believe. Believe and be baptized. So later on, when we became Christians, my wife and I got baptized at Pirates Cove and Corona Del Mar, where the Jesus movement was going on. We knew we had to obey this and publicly be baptized, identify with Christ. We knew that what was done for us as a child didn't really matter. As a matter of fact, I don't remember when I was 7 or 8 days old being baptized, to tell you the truth. I've lost my long-term memory. But we also read of this account we're reading of today in Matthew 28. Let's turn back there, please. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. What do we see here in Matthew 28? First, well, we see the Great Commission, like we read. But we also see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, a Christian doctrine. Baptize them. You know, you're a believer, and now you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the Trinity, which separates us from other faiths. And then he said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So what do we see here? We're also to teach other Christians. And we call that discipleship. We're to teach them to obey the words of Jesus. You don't get saved and baptized and then live any way you want. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. We've said this before. Oranges come from what? Very good orange tree. Apples come from? And where does guacamole come from? An avocado tree. But see, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know that you're a person's a Christian by them observing things that he said to do. We can't just say it. We believe it. And we live it, and we are to teach other Christians that. That's called discipling. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. They need to learn, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit who teaches them that they will learn. That's called discipleship, and it means becoming like your master. Do you want to become more like Jesus? And be in the Word of God. Living out the new life. Important to be in the Word of God and growing. Being molded into the image of Christ. We all need to be taught, to be fed. So that's another thing we do, is we also teach people to obey God's Word. And then let's get back to our text here, verse 17 in Mark. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These signs will follow the believer. And again, this was so important in the work of Jesus and in the early church, that people see the power of God, the proof of the gospel, that they were sent by God. But we don't ever see where these were stopped, as some people say. Because when I read this, it says, these signs will follow those who believe. Period. That's all it says. In my name, they will do this and that. Anything added to that would be added by man. You can go through the Bible in the book of Acts. You see a lot of these things happen. Also, you can go in some countries today where you see many of these signs happen. I've seen demons cast out. People speak in tongues. Miracles. I've seen reports and videos, though, of churches in some areas of our country where people, pastors, ministers, handle snakes for no purpose at all. That's dumb. I've seen reports where they get bit and they get hurt and they die. That is not smart. The Bible says, don't tempt the Lord your God. The context is, though those who believe, these signs will follow those who in my name are doing this in accordance with preaching the gospel. Just like Jesus did, through the signs, it says he was demonstrating his power was from God. It's not for personal use. Hey, I'm going to cast out these things there. I'm going to take up snakes and not get hurt. That's dumb. That's testing God. Casting out demons, verse 17, it says. Well, that happens today. You can read Acts, 19, Acts 16. A lot of places where demons were cast out. Speaking with tongues. We see that in the Bible. We see that exercise today. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul takes a whole chapter to cover how to do things decently and in order in the church. This is for the church. You speak in tongues and you have someone to interpret. So that happens today. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul goes over the gifts of the Spirit. Verse 18, take up serpents. We covered that. But in context, with protecting his people that are preaching the gospel, this happens. Let's turn to Acts 28. Acts 28, verse 1. This is right after being shipwrecked and coming on an island. Paul, concerning Paul. Now, when they had escaped, then they found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire, made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. That's what Jesus was talking about. Don't worry about going out doing my work and getting into danger. I will take care of you. And then they see this and, whoa, that makes an impression on this place. This happens. And then when it says here in verse 18, they will drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Well, we don't see any record of that in the Bible, but I'm sure as people go out to all different countries in the world, they don't always know what they're eating or drinking, what they're given. Could have been deadly things, but God says, you'll be okay if you're going serving in my name. And then they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, we know this gift of healing exists today. I've seen people healed. We've prayed for people and they've been healed. We've personally seen that. Instances in the book of Acts, many of them, listed by Paul as one of the gifts. We've seen people recover. Not all, but God's will is always done, whether it's to heal or take them through. But again, sick in context of preaching the gospel, God will heal. He heals people. They're serving the Lord. He heals them. They carry on his work. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. How wonderful. And they went out and preached everywhere. They obeyed. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So they obeyed. They went forward and did it. Let's turn again to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 4. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. He ascended into heaven, and the angels, the messengers say to the person, to them, why are you amazed? He's going to come back. The same place where he was taken up. And that's what we're waiting for now. And in Zechariah 14, the Old Testament, verses 3 and 4, he tells us, where that is, he's going to come back on the Mount of Olives there. Just where he was taken up, he's going to come back, Mount Olivet. So we know when he comes back, where he's going to step his foot. And he's going to step his foot on that mountain. It says it's going to split in two. That'll be awesome. Lord, we thank, well, before we close, I want to tell you, we read about going forward and preaching the gospel. In other words, onward Christian soldiers. God will take care of us. Next Sunday, we're going to start a little book which fits right in with being told to go and preach the gospel, the book of Jonah. And we'll see what his response was and what he went through because he didn't obey next week. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your kindness. And we thank you that we have a reason for being here. We would pray, Lord, that today you would stir us up. We would leave here excited about sharing good news. And we thank you that we have this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.